The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we had a pretty crazy Monday night football game, and then after that game, we had some trades with both of the teams involved. So let's first discuss the game. It was the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets, and I mean, the Jets came right out the gate. They got right down the field, scored some points. Buffalo did the same thing. It was pretty much back and forth the whole way through, but the thing that just kept consistently happening was the Jets just kept shooting themselves in the foot. They had a touchdown taken back due to a penalty. Then they had a couple first downs taken back due to penalty. They had dudes tripping and falling and not being able to make passes, make catches. It was just really just the Jets getting in their own way. And the Bills just doing enough to hang on to this win. The Bills got the win 23-20. Josh Allen had a solid game, 19 for 25 with 215 yards and two touchdowns. And the Bills just, they got the win, and the Jets were reeling until the following day. And then on Tuesday, we had Devontae Adams finally end up getting traded to the New York Jets. I'm pretty sure we all kind of assumed that was happening over the last couple of weeks. But I feel like after Monday night's debacle that it was 100% we need to get Devontae in here, because Mike Williams really just like slipped and fell and could have easily had a first down and set his team up in scoring position, or at least field goal position. But their field goal kicker was not that reliable that night either, but neither was the Buffalo Bills' field goal kicker. It was not a good night for the field goal kickers because it was pretty windy in New York, but still, after Mike Williams slipped and fell, they were like, get us Devontae real quick. So Devontae Adams is now officially a New York Jet, and we have Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams back with each other. Don't know if this makes them a Super Bowl contender, but it definitely gives a huge boost to them offensively, just because really one of the best wide receiver, quarterback duos in the league over the years has been Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. If you just look at it statistically, they are two of the top dogs in the league. So if they're anything like they used to be, I expect the Jets to actually start scoring some points. But the Buffalo Bills also made a big trade. They ended up trading for wide receiver Amari Cooper from the Cleveland Browns. I think this is a good move for them just because they don't really have a number one guy, and this actually gives them a number one guy. Because the Bills are basically a team where I look at them and they are definitely going to make some waves. They're definitely got a shot at winning their division. They definitely got a shot at making the playoffs, and they definitely got a shot at potentially making the Super Bowl, especially with the way Josh Allen's playing. He's actually playing at an MVP caliber level right now. So getting Amari for Josh Allen, I think, is huge. He's one of the best route runners in the league, in my opinion, because Amari Cooper used to be a Dallas Cowboy, and that's what I loved most about him, was just he is a beautiful route runner, so he's definitely going to give him that edge. He's definitely going to give him a deep threat and just boost this offense up a bit, and we'll see if it affects them in any way, shape, or form, but I kind of feel like they needed a number one receiver, and this gives them a number one receiver. All right, so let's move on to the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. And not only do we have us a new number one, but we have a couple of teams that really are starting to separate themselves from everybody else. So let's get started with number one. I have officially put the Baltimore Ravens at number one. And yes, I know they are not undefeated, but my power rankings, I take into account many things. And just because you're 5-0 and we're on a bye week, that does not matter to me. The Ravens look like the best team in the league right now. Hands fucking down. Lamar Jackson playing at an insane level. As a matter of fact, he has 1,529 yards passing, 10 touchdowns, and only two interceptions on the season. And that's not even talking about rushing right there. But then you turn to Derrick Henry, who is leading the league in rushing still, 704 yards and eight touchdowns. He is a bruiser, and this Ravens offense is getting better and stronger as the season wears on. And their defense is still stout. Their defense is really good. And they've been able to get some big wins over the last few weeks. And to me, the Baltimore Ravens are the top team, at least right now. They are stacked from top to bottom. They have pretty much avoided really major injuries to their major players. I mean, of course, every team has suffered injuries up to this point. But usually over the last couple of seasons, the Ravens have suffered huge injuries, like at the beginning of training camp. So this year, they're pretty healthy. They've got tons of weapons on offense for Lamar Jackson here. And I just look at the Ravens as a team that has completely separated themselves from everybody else. If you ask me who I were to pick to win the Super Bowl today, it's the Baltimore Ravens. They are built that good. And also, I didn't even talk about the coaching. Harbaugh's their coach. The dude's already won a Super Bowl. He's a solid coach. So this team is just excellent from top to bottom. And they are the number one team in the league to me. Dropping to number two is the Minnesota Vikings, because I think they're also an excellent team as well. They are 5-0 in the season, and they are coming off of a bye. I usually don't punish teams for being on a bye week, but at the same time, to me, like I just said, the Ravens have separated themselves from everybody else, and I feel like if the Ravens were to face off against the Vikings, I would take the Ravens probably 10 times out of 10, honestly, just because I think they are that much better, at least right now. But we'll see. I mean, we've got a lot of season left to go, but the Vikings, still one of the top teams in the league to me. Then at number three, I have the Detroit Lions. Overall record of 4-1. This team has also just been separating themselves each and every week from every team. They're stacked offensively, and to me, the Aiden Hutchinson injury, yes, it's a big deal. But it does not make a dent in their Super Bowl hopes, because obviously the Detroit Lions are a legit Super Bowl contender team, and I don't think the loss of Hutchinson is going to cost them that. He's an excellent player, and his loss is definitely going to be felt in certain ways, but I don't think it really completely decimates this team and where they want to be at the end of the season. Then dropping a couple spots to number four, I have the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 5-0 on the season. They're coming off of a bye. It's just, to me, they have not had a very convincing win. Other than their defense, they're not consistent at all. Offensively, there are so many questions about them, and it's pretty much just all Mahomes. He's the only one doing anything, and it at some point, it's probably going to wear on them. And they just don't look that good to me, even though they're 5-0. So that's why I put the Vikings and the Lions above them, because they are all playing much more consistent football. But also, there is plenty of season for the Chiefs to get better as the season wears on. You know, they're 5-0, nothing to scoff at. But I'm just saying, I did drop them a few spots because they're just not as impressive as the three teams above them. I almost put number five above them, but I did not put the Houston Texans above them just yet. We'll see as the season wears on, but I did not put the Texans above them. They are 5-1 on the season, and they look really, really good, especially with Joe Mixon in the game. He came back last week and really gave this offense a boost, and they looked really good. They didn't look shaky at all, but I kind of feel like if Houston and Kansas City were to face off like today, I would probably take Kansas City over them just because they've got the championship pedigree, but Houston looks like a really explosive team. Defensively, they are just, as I continue to say, a smack-you-in-the-mouth defense. They just look really good. They're playing some really good football, and they are getting better as the season wears on. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 4-2. This is another overall complete team. Offensively, they have 14 touchdowns on the season. That is second behind only the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Defensively, they have 9 interceptions, 6 forced fumbles. So they can cause these turnovers, and they're getting it done on both sides of the ball. They're just such a complete team. They played well even without Jordan Love in the game, so they're a very well-coached team. So it just goes to show that they're probably going to be a team that doesn't take too many L's, and they're probably going to put up a fight even when they're down, because they did a couple of weeks ago in their loss that they suffered a couple of weeks ago where they were basically getting their asses kicked for the first three quarters and then just turned it on in the fourth quarter. It just goes to show what they're capable of as a team, and to me, this is another team that is just getting better as the season wears on. Then at number seven on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Overall record of 4-2. I am just really impressed with what Baker Mayfield's done this season. He has 1,489 passing yards and 15 touchdowns with only 5 interceptions. So he is really just slicing and dicing up defenses. Chris Godwin's got 5 of those touchdowns. And then, of course, Mike Evans, he's blowing shit up too. Their ground attack has been probably the most shaky thing, but overall, the ground attack seems to be getting stronger. The turnovers have been an issue with the running backs, but I mean, overall, I really like what I see offensively from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they've really been able to put up numbers with really any team in the league. It's just sometimes they get in their own way, which is why I can't put them above a lot of these other teams. But really, you look at the Buccaneers, and I feel like they are a legit contender, especially as the season has gone on. And Baker Mayfield just playing fantastic football and just being very surgical with the football. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 4-2. As I continue to say, too reliant on Josh Allen, but this Amari Cooper trade could definitely take pressure off of him and definitely, like I said, give them a number one receiver, which is what they haven't had since they traded away Stephon Diggs in the offseason. But Josh Allen having an MVP year so far on the season, 1,160 passing yards, 10 touchdowns, his passing touchdowns. This doesn't even include his rushing touchdowns. But the most important stat of all, a stat that I feel like all of us have been criticizing Josh Allen on, and he fixed it, at least so far he has. He has zero interceptions on the season, and that has been the deal with him, is that he's very Brett Favre-esque, where it's like you get the crazy guy who's going to run, he's going to be flipping in the air, he's going to take the big hits, he's going to just bomb it downfield and give you some crazy plays, but that craziness is also going to cost you in the turnovers department at times. But so far, this season, Josh Allen has zero interceptions, and that's just fantastic going into week 6. Week 6, and you haven't even thrown an interception. That is what you want from your quarterback, and definitely a guy who's the team. You definitely don't want him having turnovers since he has to carry everybody. So that's the most impressive stat, I believe, for Josh Allen, is that he has taken the criticism from the last couple of seasons where he's thrown too many interceptions, and he has turned it around, at least so far, and really, really improved in that department. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Washington Commanders. Overall record of 4-2. Jaden Daniels. He has been killing it this season. 1,404 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions. So another guy who's just keeping down the turnovers. But the most impressive stat for him is he's completing 75% of his passes, which still leads the league. So to be the rookie going into week 7, and you're completing 75% of your passes, and you're doing better than Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I mean, you're completing more of your passes than them. That says a lot. Now, like I keep saying with Washington, I haven't really bought into them yet because there's just a lot of questions about him, but I mean, the emergence of Daniels is definitely what they want to see, and I definitely believe they have the quarterback of their future, or at least for the next 3 to 5 years. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, as I continue to say, once I hit about the 10 mark, it's usually difficult for me to pick a team. So I decided to put the Chicago Bears at number 10 this week, mostly because they're 4-2, and I wanted to mention that puts all four NFC North teams, not only in my top 10 for this week, but all four of them have at least 4 wins. Now, the Vikings have 5 wins, but the Packers are 4-2, the Bears are 4-2, and Detroit's 4-1. So all of these teams, they're over 500. They're playing very well, and so I just wanted to point that out, that look at that division. As a matter of fact, I have a prediction for how something's going to turn out towards the end of the season, because it's looking like the NFC East is a terrible division this year, and that whoever wins that division is probably going to be like a 500-ish team, or like a barely win the division team, like a 9-8 type of record or something terrible like that. And so somebody's barely going to win the NFC East. And so somebody probably from the NFC North is just going to miss out on a playoff spot. And at the end of the season, everybody's going to be complaining, NFC East team shouldn't have won, got a spot, should have gone to the Chicago Bears or something of that nature. So I'm predicting that's going to happen because the NFC North is stacked right now. And Caleb Williams has really improved his game with it each and every week. Right now in the season, he's got 1,317 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. But he's just getting more accurate. He seems to be getting more in sync with his receivers. The offensive line, still an issue, and I actually expect the Bears to kind of have their ups and downs, and I feel like right now they're on the upside of things, but I really am predicting that somebody or a couple of teams in the NFC North are going to miss out on a playoff team or a playoff spot simply because a shittier team is going to win their division. And sorry, that's just the way it works, but that's what I'm expecting to happen just because these NFC North teams ain't no joke, at least right now. You know, Minnesota 5-0, Detroit 4-1, and they look really good. And then also Green Bay 4-2 also look really good. I mean, 3 of those teams I refer to as complete teams. Whereas the Bears, I mean, defensively, this team is killing it defensively. And like I said, offensively, they're getting better each and every week. So I had to talk about the Bears, and so that's why I threw them at 10. I mean, I could have probably put a couple other teams down there, but, you know, I just decided I'm going to go with this team because why not highlight the NFC North and what a powerhouse the division they are, at least right now. All right, so let's move on to Week 7 and Thursday Night Football. We actually have a pretty good matchup. It would have actually been better if we had the starting quarterback on one side of the ball, but, you know, it could actually turn out to be a pretty good game, and it's going to be the Denver Broncos at the New Orleans Saints. The reason why I'm saying it could be a pretty good game is because this is Sean Payton, coach of the Denver Broncos, coming back to his old squad. He used to be the coach of the New Orleans Saints until they traded him to the Broncos a couple years ago. And, I mean, if you don't know, I mean, Sean Payton completely turned around this New Orleans Saints organization. They used to be one of the laughing stocks of the league. I mean, their fans literally used to go to games with bags over their heads. They started that whole trend. And there, it was always like a joke to even pretend like the New Orleans Saints were going to be a playoff team, let alone a Super Bowl champion. And then Sean Payton comes in, Drew Brees comes in. They both completely turn around this organization, and now they're one of the most respected organizations in the league. And even though they've had their down seasons over the last couple of years, people still now look at the Saints as a legit squad. Whereas the Broncos right now, they're really struggling. But unfortunately for the Saints, there's going to be no Derek Carr, and that really changes the way this offense looks and plays. Also, Kamara starting to get banged up. He's questionable to play in this game, and it's a short week. So I'm looking at the Saints as being bruised and battered, whereas the Broncos, they're playing very rough and tough football where they can get the job done, but then they also just make these terrible mistakes because they do have a rookie quarterback, Bo Nix, and he's been showing some sparks, but then he's also had his moments where he just throws dumbass interceptions. But he's going to have his growing pains along the way because he is a rookie. But like I said, with the Saints, unfortunately for them, they have too many injuries, which is why I'm leaning towards Denver in this one. I just kind of feel like Denver's coming off of a loss. The Saints have nothing really. I mean, Spencer Rattler, he has his moments, at least the last couple of, we saw him play a full game last week, and then he came in and played, what, half the game, or actually not half the game, like half a quarter in the previous game. So he has his moments, but I'm not expecting this dude to really come in and blow anybody away. But the Broncos aren't that great of a team either. So I expect it to be a pretty close matchup, but I have the Broncos getting this win 23-21. Now let's talk about some college football and the AP college top 12 rankings this week. And man, hook 'em horns, motherfucker, the Texas Longhorns, not only are still the number one team in the country, but they are looking like the best team in the SEC, which is just fucking awesome because I actually remember a couple years ago when they announced that the Texas Longhorns and Oklahoma were going to be joining the SEC. I kind of thought it was a stupid move because, I mean, over the years, the Longhorns have just not been that good, especially at the quarterback position. But, you know, we got Sark and things kind of turned around, and we're back to being a powerhouse, at least for now. And this is the first year in the SEC, and the Longhorns are easily the best team in the SEC. So not only are we the best team in the country, we are the best team in the SEC, and that is fucking awesome. At least if you're a Texas Longhorns fan, like I am, bitches. So Longhorns, still number one because they are 6-0 and just absolutely obliterated the shit out of Oklahoma this week, 34-3. We have us a big game coming up this weekend. Georgia, number five, Georgia is coming into Austin, Texas this weekend. So hopefully the Longhorns don't overlook Georgia because Georgia's had their up and down moments this season, but still, they're Georgia. Please do not overlook them. Let's still remain the top team in football this year. Moving up to number two is Oregon, who got a crazy win over Ohio State, 32-31. They will be playing at Purdue this weekend. Then number three is Penn State, who also moved up. They are 6-0 on the season, got a real tight win over USC, 33-30. They will be, they are actually on a bye this week, but they will be at Wisconsin next week. Number four is Ohio State, who has moved down a couple of spots because of their loss to Oregon this week, 32-31. They are also on a bye. They will be playing Nebraska next week. Number five is Georgia. They're 5-1 on the season. They just beat Mississippi State 41-31 over the weekend. And as I said, they will be coming here to play number one Texas this weekend. Then at number six, we have Miami, still 6-0 on the season. They took out Cal, barely, 39-38. They have had some squeakers this year, but hey, Miami is still undefeated on the season, and they're getting it done, and they will be at Louisville this weekend. Then at number seven, we have Alabama. They are 5-1 on the season. They just got by South Carolina over the weekend, 27-25, and they got another big one themselves up against number 11, Tennessee, over the weekend. Then at number eight, we have LSU, who has moved up five spots because they are 5-1 on the season. They took out Mississippi, 29-26. They will be at Arkansas this weekend. Number nine is Iowa State, who's moved up two spots. They are 6-0 on the season, and they just took out West Virginia, 28-16. They will be playing UCF this weekend. Then at number 10, we have Clemson. They are 5-1 on the season. They smashed Wake Forest, 49-14. And they will be at Virginia this weekend. Then at number 11, we have Tennessee, who's fallen three spots because they've had their moments where they're barely getting by. They just beat Florida this weekend, 23-17. But as I said, they are going to be playing number 7, Alabama, this weekend. So they could either move up if they get the win over Alabama, which to me, Alabama has not been playing that well, even though they're 5-1. I'm actually giving the nod to Tennessee in this one because I just don't think Alabama is that good. But I wouldn't be shocked if they got the win. And then rounding out the AP Top 12 this week is Notre Dame. They dropped the spot. They are 5-1 on the season. They took out Stanford 49-7, and they will be at Georgia Tech this weekend. And then we also, of course, have the NLCS and ALCS games going on throughout the week. So on Monday, before I ended the show, I was talking about how the Mets were absolutely obliterating the Dodgers, and they held on to that lead. They got the win 7-3. The Dodgers tried to make a little run at the end there, but the Mets were able to hang on to it. Vientos ended up having a grand slam in that one. Francisco Lindor had another home run himself. So he's looking like playoff Lindor right now, that's for sure. Game 3 is actually tonight. Should be starting in about an hour here. This series is tied up at 1, and they are in New York tonight. So we'll see what happens with that series. And then the ALCS game one went to the Yankees 5-2. Rodon pitched a gem. He went 6 innings with 9 strikeouts. And then Giancarlo Stanton, we're looking like playoff Stanton is a thing because in the ALDS, he had himself a series. And then in this one, he had himself a home run in the first in game one. And then also Soto had a home run as well. So they were pretty much the offense there. But Rodon had an excellent pitching battle there. And then in game two, the Yankees dominated the Guardians 6-3. And Aaron Judge finally got himself a home run in the postseason here. He's been pretty quiet overall. He's either been striking out or just getting the sacrifice hits out there, which is something he had last night in, like, I think it was the third, fourth inning. He drove in a run, but with a sacrifice fly. But finally, I believe it was in the sixth or seventh inning, he hit a home run and finally busted that seal. I kind of feel like now that he's done that, I wouldn't be shocked to see him kind of go on a little bit of a tear here because he's probably been pretty frustrated, but it actually hasn't really cost the team because Anthony Rizzo, he's been back from his injury. He's actually been very very solid with his bat. He's been getting on base a lot. So he's also been driving in some runs as well. So he's been reliable. Soto, of course, has been excellent. As a matter of fact, last night the Guardians ended up walking Soto, loading the bases, and actually pitching to Aaron Judge right behind him. That was when Judge flew out for the run to bring in the sacrifice run. But that's kind of what it is. And then even Volpe, man, he's been pretty solid in the playoffs as well. So. You look at them offensively, they're now starting to get going, and then the Guardians, they've just been very, very stale. And then Ramirez, he's basically suffering from the same thing that Judge has been suffering from. They've both been very, very ice cold, I mean, for two of the top guys in the league. As a matter of fact, let's throw Ohtani in there as well. All three of them, they were the top hitters all season long in the regular season. Playoffs hit, and all three of them have been mostly ice cold. And none of them have been like the deciding factor in any of the games. And Ramirez was actually able to finally hit a home run last night as well, I believe in the sixth or seventh inning himself. Didn't count for shit because it was at that point the Yankees were way up. But he still busted the seal as well. But I found it interesting that all three of those hitters, Ohtani, Judge, and Ramirez, top guys with their bats all season long throughout the regular season, they were literally breaking records, doing things you don't see, and then the playoffs hit and ice cold. But we'll see if Ramirez and or Judge busted open that seal with those home runs, because sometimes that's all it takes is you just get that home run, boom, opens everything up. So game three between the Yankees and the Guardians is going to be on Thursday night. Yankees are up 2-0 right now. It's going to be in Cleveland. We'll see what happens. Oh, Cole pitched last night as well. He didn't pitch as great as he did in the division series. I'd say for the first, a bunch of guys kept getting on base, but overall he was pitching very well up until about the fifth inning, and then it kind of started to get shaky there. But I mean, he held his own for the most part. So we'll see what happens by Friday with the ALCS and the NLCS, and we'll see where we're at that point. But right now, Mets, Dodgers, they're looking pretty balanced, but Yankees right now are pretty much dominating the Guardians. The Guardians really need Game 3. If they don't get Game 3, it's looking like it's going to be a clean sweep for them. So we'll see what happens in Game 3. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you on Friday.